Future Media and UN Namibia support the fight against COVID-19. This interview is with a medical expert on some of the most common questions about COVID-19 and vaccines.
The first concept that we'll unpack is where a lot of people are avoiding testing and early treatment because they put a lot of trust in other things, and there are various other things. So what do you say to someone who says, I'm just going to trust in my religion or in my ivermectin, I'm not going to go for testing or treatment?
The concept of avoiding testing and treating, I think that it originally was a big problem because of the fear we had of COVID, but more the fear of the isolation. And previously what had happened when somebody was isolated, kept away from their family, retested, people were testing positive for weeks and months on end. So we must also remember that right at the beginning of this disease, we understand vaccination, we understand the immune system, we understand the immune response, but we didn't understand this particular viral disease. And I think therein lay a lot of the distrust and mistrust in the community, because different groups of service providers, doctors that were reputable, were saying opposite things and contradictory things. So people were saying, well, then nobody actually knows. It was a bit of a time continuum that we unfortunately had to lose patients. We unfortunately had to do bad practices before we realized, we weren't actually doing any good by doing them. And I think so, because it was based on a premise of mistrust, from there the foundation was set for let's believe anything and everything, or let's believe nothing that comes out of certain sectors of society. As the disease evolved, so our treatments evolved, and we saw that it presenting in different ways in different people groups and different genetics. These days, testing and treating it's much easier. Treatment is available, and we now have many more treatment modalities that definitely work. So testing and treating early is definitely the way to go. As regards our religious views and our views of the different alternatives, I don't think they are antitheses. I don't think they are at different sides of the pendulum swinging from all the way from the one side to all the way on the other side. I do believe that many people have placed their trust and should place their trust in their faith. But that doesn't preclude us from also using medical science and believing in medical science. I find it hard to believe that we will go for an X-ray, or we will go for a sonar, or we'll go for a CT scan, we'll go for an anesthetic. That all involves medical technology that has been developed over a long time, but that's always these new breakthrough treatments and new breakthrough diagnostic procedures. But then we won't trust other medical treatment. So for us to say that because of our faith, we cherry pick and decide that I will send my child for vaccination, or I will have my child have an anesthetic to have a tooth removed or his appendix, but I won't choose this medical treatment or that medical treatment because the technology is too new. I think I struggle with that personally, for us to exclude faith and then use it as a test of not going for some testing or treatment.
And I mean, this is something that's actually come up in discussions that I've had with people. Shauna Keown, who we interviewed in our first interview for this campaign, actually put it very well. And she said, you know, you can still have faith and a vaccine. You know, if you are into natural medicines and naturally treating things, you can still have that and vaccines. These things, like you say, aren't necessarily antitheses. They're not necessarily polar opposites, but you have to think about it logically, and to the point of, if you drink a Panado, take out the little pamphlet that tells you what all the side effects of Panado are. But on the point of trust, people are asking, okay, so I'm putting my trust in things that I know, which is my religion or my network that tells me these alternative measures work. So if I should put my trust somewhere right now, where will I get the most trusted information about the vaccine and about the virus?
That brings us to a concept, there's the concept of confirmation bias. Birds of a feather flock together. So if you go onto YouTube and you watch a certain music video, the next music video will then, because of your demographic, because of your taste, show you a music video that you probably like, so they can keep you on there, so they can play the ads that are in between and so on. And they've got a very good algorithm that works that out. Now, that plays into our confirmation bias. So if you watch something about some vlogger that talks only about conspiracies or talks only about distrust, the next video is going to also be along a similar algorithm. And all this does is it simply confirms your fears. It simply confirms what you believe. And so it changes your perspectives. And the sum total of your perspectives is your reality. We can't deny that. So over the last 18 to 24 months, we have now seen where nobody knew about COVID, not even doctors, not even, I mean, us here, to where there is a myriad of websites, there's information all over, and that information has evolved. It's evolved very quickly. So treatments we were using even 3 weeks ago, we've even modulated and changed and modified those treatments now. But again, these were all based on, unfortunately, it's based on peer-reviewed, randomized, double-blind studies that are not just pre-printed. And that means that there are people that go and they look at it and it goes through a Cochrane review where we actually go and say, is this information trustworthy based on how the study was done? And I don't want to get too technical, but the problem is that most people do not want to go through a massive amount of information in order to design either a protocol or to design what they believe to be true or not. So for me, the problem with a lot of these things is that we live in an age of an infodemic where most patients tell me what the amount of deaths are, what the amount of vaccinations are, what the amount of infections are, what's happening in Rwanda, what's happening in the US. Patients tell us that because they have more time and they spend a lot of time on social media. I'm just hesitant to follow something of somebody that has had 64 million views, because the more sensational something is, or the more shock or horror something is, the more views it's going to get. And that doesn't necessarily make it plausible or even palatable. So for me, the problem is that most of the information we're getting now that we as doctors refer to is going to be empirically based, peer-reviewed data, and most of those are freely available on many websites, but it gets too technical for most people. So again, I think people should trust their doctors that they've trusted to do their baby's delivery, the doctor they've trusted to take out their tonsils, the doctor they've trusted when their kids are sick, because your doctor's probably going to give you advice that is fair and is to the best of his knowledge right now. That I mean, there are exceptions to that right now. But for us to believe that everything is a conspiracy theory and that our Ministry of Health is out to do something that is negative for the population, or to think that everybody's involved in the conspiracy, that in itself is untrue and comes purely out of a place of fear and anxiety.
This interview is part of the Future Media and UN Namibia COVID-19 awareness campaign. To listen to all the interviews and content we've done, visit the podcast page on futuremedia.com.na.